down to the brain and goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Brahman, such yogis can also enter the kingdom of God. So this is a very complex system.
Yeah, sit down, I'll take it.
Everybody's aware it's very popular in the present stage. It's a process of breathing exercises, pranayama, to develop one's yogic practices. And perfecting these yogic practices is very, very hard to do in this age of Kali. And anybody that's had any dealings with yoga or different meditation processes have understood that it's actually really, really a difficult thing to actually meditate properly or to actually control the senses. Holy Prabhupada. So here it's pointed out that even if a person is a devotee of a demigod, Prabhupada is pointing out that there's still a chance for them. And in the Gita, Krishna also says that. Actually, everybody has a chance to go back to home, back to Godhead. Krishna is so merciful that he makes arrangements for everybody. He never puts anybody down. He always says, encourages everybody. And so sometimes we have a tendency to put down other people's faith traditions, saying that, you know, they haven't got a chance to really attain the ultimate goal of life, which is liberation from this material body, and ultimately for a devotee to go back home, back to Godhead, to be with Krishna. And sometimes we have to be really mindful that Krishna was really so compassionate that he allows everybody an opportunity to make their way home, back to Godhead. And it may take some time, but time is only relevant in this material world. It's not relevant in the broader sense. There is no time in the spiritual world, no time as we know it. So here we have this practice. Sometimes when I'm working with interfaith people, they ask about Hinduism. And the first thing, they often have this idea that Hinduism is something where we worship many, many gods, which is a complete concoction. Because that's not what it's told in the Bhagavad Gita, and that's not what Krishna says, it's not what's there in the Vedas. Krishna gives, and God gives, the opportunity for everybody to come to him in different ways. And so some people may worship a demigod. And as Prabhupada is pointing out here, that a worshipper of a particular demigod, his consciousness is absorbed in that demigod, and therefore he cannot get direct liberation or entrance into the kingdom of God. So when I talk to people in interfaith about this whole prospect of understanding that actually the demigods are simply the custodians of creation, they are the departmental managers of the cosmos. We have the CEO, the director, the top boss, the Brahman, and that is Krishna. And then underneath we have all these other demigods. Now the demigods are amazing personalities. They're not just ordinary personalities. And they are absolutely so advanced devotees. You know, for us to actually be in a devotee, in a demigod's body would be a very, very advanced stage of consciousness. So sometimes it's hard for these people to understand that they can't really relate to the fact that in the universe there are many departmental heads. And they coordinate the different functionings of nature. We have the god of wind and the sun god and the rain god and so many different things. So it makes sense that there's a departmental manager in these different areas. So when you explain it like that, then generally people, oh, now I understand. Because I point out to them that the majority of Hindus actually are monotheistic. They believe in one god. But unlike, say, for example, the Abrahamic traditions, they see that God is a nebulous sort of feature. We don't really know what he looks like. We don't really know his pastimes, but there is only one God. When you explain to them that actually God can manifest himself in so many different forms, that it astounds them, you know, and they say, actually, you know, this is not possible. But it is. God can do anything. You say, my dear friend, you know, God can do anything. God is God. And if he wants to take another form, then that's fine. So they get the sort of idea. But then you still have this, sometimes an understanding, well, that's your God. That's not my God. then they say, well, please explain your God. And they can't. They really can't. And they have so much difficulty. And because of the fact that they can't explain and have an intimate relationship with God, we can have an intimate... This is the beauty of a devotee. And the great gift that a devotee is being given. They get an opportunity to actually have an intimate relationship with God in various aspects, depending on your desire. You know, in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we had Mukunda. Was it Mukunda who was the devotee of Lord Ramchandra? Was it Mukunda?
Murari.
Huh? Murari. Murari was. That's right. And he couldn't give up the worship of Lord Ram. And Lord Chaitanya said, that's okay. No problem. That's fine. So Krishna is so merciful that any way we can come to him, even demigod worship, as it's pointed out here, you'll make some advancement. So sometimes, even within our own congregation, you know, sometimes we lampoon or we put down the other demigods. Oh, they are a Shiva worshipper. And they sometimes have an offence to Lord Shiva. We should always be mindful that we have a complete understanding that the demigods are great devotees of Krishna. Much greater, much, much greater than we could ever be. And so we have to offer respects to all the demigods. It's interesting, I had a conversation with somebody the other day, an interfaith conversation, and this person says that sometimes, even within the Hindu tradition, they can be so offensive to demigods. Like in, this gentleman was a devotee, a preacher from the Shiva Vishnu temple. Anybody been to the Shiva Vishnu temple?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in the Shiva Vishnu temple, they did something quite outstanding. They had the two sampradayas. You know, you had the Rudra sampradaya and the Shiva and the Vishnu sampradaya, and they come together in this temple. They made a pact that we will form this temple together. Now that's like saying, you know, we have a Jewish synagogue and a Catholic church in the same building. That's how radical it is. But they are able to work together and really, you know, follow each other and help each other in so many ways. And I know the management of the Shiva Vishnu temple, and they're very, very obliging to one another. And they have great respect. The Shaivites have great respect for Lord Vishnu, and the Vaishnavas have great respect for Lord Shiva. Anyway, this one sannyasi, this one devotee was telling me about this sannyasi that visited the Shiva Vishnu temple, and he was a Vaishnava. And he was there and he was worshipping Lord Vishnu. He got beautiful Lakshmi Narayan there, and they're worshipping Lord Vishnu. And someone, you know how they've got that set up, they've got Lord Vishnu here, and then over here is Lord Shiva. So he was doing an offering to Lord Vishnu. He was a great guest, he was a big sannyasi. And then the Brahmin from Lord Shiva was making preparations for him to welcome him to visit Lord Shiva. And so then his assistant came over to this Swami and said, the pujari over in Lord Shiva's altar has made arrangements for you to offer your obeisances to Lord Shiva. And the Swami said, oh no, this I cannot do. Great offence, this I cannot do, because I'm Vaishnava, I cannot have anything to do with Lord Shiva. And so they completely were so offensive. So sometimes the devotees also get in this mindset, you know, I can't go to another temple unless it is a Hare Krishna temple. I can't have anything to do with anybody else. But we should be broad-minded and understand how Krishna has that empathy for all living entities, that he wants to bring everybody back. And whatever level you're at, whoever you're worshipping at that time, it's fine. Ultimately, it is all meant for Krishna. Everything comes back to Krishna. He takes everything. Even the worship of the demigods. They may be worshipping Durga Devi, like in our area, a couple of our devotees here, we have a Durga temple. Beautiful Durga temple. Has anybody been to that temple? The Durga temple. It's a beautiful... they actually are learning from ISKCON how to worship the deities, because the deities are gorgeously dressed.
And usually in India and other places, they're not so finely dressed. And this was Prabhupada's legacy. He said when you worship deities, they should have beautiful dress. So when you go to the Durga temple, they are very beautifully dressed. And if you stand in front, and they have Hanuman, they have everybody there. Yeah, it's a complete smorgasbord of personalities of divinity, you know. But even you stand before the deity of Durga Devi, you know, she is radiant, she's beautiful, you know, and she's the great devotee of Krishna. And so everybody loves there, the deities there. So we should be mindful that we pay respect. Lord Chaitanya did when he traveled all around India, walked around India. He went to all the different temples and offered respects. So this is very important. So this Prabhupada is pointing out here, by perfecting their yoga practices, the yogis can reach the highest planet, Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, after giving up their material bodies, and they can enter the body of Lord Brahma. So here, it's Lord Brahma's residence, as is pointed out, is far, far away. It sounds like a Star Wars, in a planet far, far away. So Lord Brahma, do we really want to go to Lord Brahma? This is the point that we have to really think about. Or do we want to go to Krishna? Which is more attractive, to enter the body of Lord Brahma and just be an entity within there somehow or another? No description, you just sort of merge with Lord Brahma. Or do we want to have the nectarian pastimes of being with Krishna? This is the ultimate goal for all of us. They have to wait until Lord Brahma is liberated, and then only along with Lord Brahma they're liberated. So it's like a tag team, you're tagging along with Lord Brahma. And his consciousness is absorbed of and then the worshipper of a particular demigod, his consciousness is absorbed in thoughts of that demigod, and therefore he can be cannot get direct liberation into the entrance of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is such an amazing thing. What is actually the kingdom of God? Prabhupada explains that actually the kingdom of God can be right here, right now, in our service to Krishna. All we have to do is simply put Krishna in the center. We just have to adjust our life where we put Krishna in the center. I was listening to a Nectar of Devotion class by Srila Prabhupada the other day, and he was saying, actually all that is required is very, very simple. Two things that are very, very important in a devotee's life. If you stick by those principles, he said, then you will be assured of going back home, back to Godhead. And the two things are, number one, one has to have enthusiasm. What's the Sanskrit for enthusiasm again? Utsaha, isn't it? Utsaha. So a devotee has to have utsaha. He has to be enthusiastic. And the other thing that he has to have is he has to have patience. So the utsaha, the enthusiasm, is that we are enthusiastic to pass on this knowledge of the kingdom of God to other people. Not that we force it down their throats. That doesn't work. If people are preached to, you know, the word preaching, in a sense, is not the right word for devotees. You know, because preaching means that I know the only way and I have to tell you this. What we actually do as devotees is we share Krishna consciousness with people. We share it. We can, you know, like a person hates to have someone say, you should do this, you should do that, you should worship this. It's better that a devotee says, I worship like this. I get the experience like this. So take it from a personal level. So Prabhupada was saying this Nectar of Devotion, that we need this enthusiasm to spread this knowledge of the kingdom of God. This is of the utmost importance to a devotee. We can do our programs here at the temple. We can have our bhakti vrikshas, and we learn different things, and we learn the shastras, and we learn slokas, and we learn how to do puja, and so on and so forth. And that's good. And Prabhupada says that you do not have to be an intelligent man to actually go back home, back to Godhead. You don't have to know too many shastra, you don't have to be fluent in Sanskrit, you don't have to be paka paka Brahman. The thing that you do need is that you have to be enthusiastic. You have to see, is this working for me? Is this Krishna consciousness working for me? When you actually apply the principles that are being given by the spiritual master, you will find that this will happen to you. You will experience the kingdom of heaven right here, right now. And it can happen to all of us. It's already happened, or otherwise you wouldn't be sitting here and you wouldn't be chanting your rounds and you wouldn't be making dedicated effort to follow the spiritual master, follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings. It can happen in a minute way. Usually it happens when we first come to Krishna consciousness. When we first come to Krishna consciousness, someone has taught us how to chant, you know, and you start chanting, and Krishna gives you like a booster. The first times you chant, it's like, wow, this is something special. It's so special that you're able to give up your sense gratification. A lot of us, you know, some may take a little longer, but generally when you start the process of bhakti, and it starts by chanting, all of a sudden you think, wow, this is so... And with that enlightenment, with that effervescence that you feel from the presence of God, you actually have an opportunity to progress, to grow. And everything else falls by the wayside, you know? Like I remember when we first started Krishna consciousness, it was nothing for us to give up meat. Nothing. It was like, okay. And the regulative principles. No illicit sex. No problem. You know, no gambling. Well, we didn't gamble anyway. And, you know, no intoxication. Okay, no more marijuana. Put that away. No more drinking. Because we were getting a little taste. And Krishna does that to you in the beginning. He gives you a little taste, just like, wow, that's pretty good. And it's beyond this material experience. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, it's that little glimpse of the kingdom of heaven that you get that allows you to keep on going. That little glimpse. It may have been one time when you were chanting, one time when you were standing before the deities, one time when you were worshipping Srila Prabhupada, just a little glimpse of the kingdom of God. It may have been a microsecond. Just all of a sudden you think, this is real. You know, it's like just for a small fraction the lights go on. Krishna's real. And then that's it. You're hooked. That little micro little peek into the spiritual world, into the kingdom of God. When you have that little peek, that keeps you, that sustains you. And then what you want to do is you want to get back to that little peak and you want to have a little bit more. It could be that, and we were talking about to some devotees last night in our Bhagavad Gita class, it may be that Krishna comes in a dream to you. You know, that all of a sudden it dawns on you, Krishna's real, he came in my dream. Or a dream of Srila Prabhupada. You know? So it gives you this little bit of a glimpse of the spiritual world. And then what happens is you become incredibly, I want this again. Because it is a taste which is far beyond the material experience. There's nothing quite like devotional practices to stimulate and to enliven you. You know, even in the Christian traditions. When I was a young boy, I always had a spiritual fervor. I always wanted to find out about spiritual things. And I read different books and that. So I would read the books about saints, Christian saints. Because Krishna also loves Christians. You know that, don't you? He actually really... And he wants them to come back home, back to Godhead too. So there's these Christian saints that actually, in their way of approaching to God, would have these beautiful realizations. Like say, for example, we have the story, and Prabhupada said he was a pure devotee, St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis of Assisi gave up everything. He would walk barefoot in the snow for love of God. He had so much love for God, so obsessed with God, and he wanted so much. He had a realization, a small realization of the kingdom of God. And so then he built temples and churches. There's other ones like St. Teresa. St. Teresa was so absorbed in prayer to God, when she would enter into the church and she would start to pray, she would lift off the ground. And she would be in ecstasy just praying to Krishna. She didn't know that she was levitating, but people would come in and all of a sudden she would be just praying so intensely that she was lifted off the ground. And people said, wow, look at that. And you know, and other people, like there was one other lady, a saint, I can't remember what her name was, and when she prayed, all that would happen would flower petals, rose petals, would enter the church, right? And the fragrance would overwhelm everybody. So she had a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. So when you get a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven, you never want anything else. You want to strive for that. Now, material nature will try to cover you over, but if you stay with the sadhana, if you stay with the instructions of the teacher, then eventually you will have that experience more and more and more and more. Prabhupada actually guarantees that. In the Nectar of Devotion also, Prabhupada guarantees that. Even you are an ordinary man, not very intelligent. If you stay with the process of Krishna consciousness, you will meet Krishna in this very in this very body. In this very body, Krishna will come to you. He said, just as I am sitting in front of you, Krishna will be in front of you. And then he will never leave you. Then you'll be with Krishna always. So Srila Prabhupada is the perfect example of that. Krishna was always with him. Always with him. It was really an interesting story the other day. You might have read it on Facebook about somebody was relating this pastime of Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada was in Jhansi. So before he even came to the West, he was still reasonably a young man. He set up the preaching center in Jhansi. And this was an interview with his first disciple. Did anybody read that story, by the way? You read it, huh? Yeah. And he was relating how one night he was sleeping and it was late at night and he heard this chanting in one of the rooms in Jhansi. And he went to investigate. And Prabhupada was the only person in the room and he's walking around the room dancing, chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, in his tune, you know. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. And the disciple was asking, Prabhupada, what are you doing? Why are you chanting? He said, oh, I just feel so blessed to be able to chant. And he said, wow, what? And in this room, Prabhupada had this beautiful garland on. And the garland was of kadamba flower. But at that stage, in that area in Jhansi, the kadamba flowers weren't in season. And even if they were in season, they would be very small little flowers. But these were huge kadambas, fragrant, that filled the whole room with a beautiful scent. And Prabhupada was dancing, Hare Krishna. And the disciple asked Prabhupada, where did you get the garland from? And Prabhupada said, Krishna gave it to me. You know? So if Krishna came to you and said, here, my dear boy, here, my dear girl, here's a garland for you. I think we would also be dancing in the room, chanting. So you never lose Krishna. So the process of Krishna consciousness enables us to see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. All the great teachers have told that. You know, Muhammad preached this, that the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus preached this, the kingdom of God is within you. And even Lord Buddha, an incarnation of Krishna, is also preached this, that the kingdom of God is within you. So, if we understand and if we get a glimpse, as all of us have, at one point or another, even if you can remember it or not, if you have this one connection that you've had this opportunity to experience Krishna consciousness and experience the kingdom of God, then you want to maintain it. But then Prabhupada said the two things that are absolutely necessary are utsaha. You have to be completely determined to spread this knowledge. You have to be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm. How can I present this to other people? How can I bring this out to other people? How can I give this to someone else? Because all the fallen conditioned souls in this material world are struggling like a fish out of water. They are trying so hard to be happy in this material world and they're not getting a little fraction, but it's never satisfying. Everything in this material world is simply relief. It's relief from something. Haribol! Confirmation. It's relief from something or other. You know, it's either relief from hunger, and then when our hunger is satisfied, we go, now I'm satisfied, now I'm happy. But prior to that, we're going, oh God, I'm so hungry, I'm hungry, hungry. Or you're thirsty, you know, or you're tired, you know. It's a relief from something. You know, you're so tired and then sleep is a relief. Even sex life is a relief. Oh, I'm so desperate for sex, and then you have sex and say, oh, now I'm satisfied. So it's all a relief, and it's all temporary. It's all fleeting, because in a couple of minutes you're going to be hungry again, you're going to be sleepy again, you're going to be thirsty again, and the cycle begins. You're never, ever happy. But we, by nature, are wanting to be eternally happy. We want to be happy all the time. That's our nature. We're not these material bodies. We're spirit soul captured in this body. We're a fish flapping out of water. We take a fish out of water, out of its constitutional position, and it's flap, 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 flap. Poor thing, put it back in the water. So that's the devotee. The devotee sees the flapping fish of the material world and wants to put them back in the water. Even though we're not completely absorbed in the water ourselves, but we've had a little glimpse and we say to the other fish, hey, listen, I've been back in the water just for a little bit, and that's where we should be. And so please take this knowledge. So a devotee has to be enthusiastic. That means you have to present God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, to everyone you come in contact with. And Prabhupada said that emphatically. You have to be an inspiration to everyone. And sometimes that inspiration to someone else may be your parents. As Anusha was saying this morning, Anusha is one of our dear friends from Tarnit. Anusha was saying that she is now the teacher of her parents, teaching them about God consciousness. So we have to be enthusiastic, utsaha, never ever deviate. Think of different ways of how we can present this philosophy. How can we save the flapping fish of humanity? How can we do that? Put our intelligence. Krishna has given us intelligence, free will and intelligence, and we have to use our intelligence in a really constructive way to encourage people to become God conscious. How can we do it? You know, if you're working in a sweet shop, offer the samosas before the people eat them. Offer prasadam to people. Give them a chance, you know. Here in the temple, we're constantly thinking, as from a level of an executive, Sukadev Prabhu knows, we're constantly thinking, how can we increase? How can we promote? How can we do more? The thing that we're doing at the moment in this temple is to promote more people taking prasadam. Because prasadam is the thing that really gets to people. It really, they connect with it. That's why our restaurants are so popular. Very popular. So many times at interfaith functions or school programs that I give, you know, I say, okay, who's been to Gopal's? All the hands go up. What do you think of Gopal's? Oh, fantastic. We loved it. It was so beautiful, you know. It's not a mundane restaurant. It's the spiritual world. We're offering Krishna. We're offering prasadam. And so at our executive meetings, we're scratching our heads. How can we get another Gopal's? How can we get another Crossways? Well, first we need a big kitchen so we can provide for these restaurants better. So there was this whole endeavor, you know, and the management team, especially Aniruddha and Chincharupa, take it upon themselves. How can I do this? How can I... Because the weight actually falls on the leaders, and in particular Aniruddha and Achincharupa. They are so enthusiastic, they've been so enthusiastic for nearly 40 years, running this place for nearly 25 years. Never something for themselves, always thinking about other people. How can I progress? How can I do more? To the extent where now sometimes he's fallen ill. You know? And this is we have to be mindful. These people are really wanting to progress. So in the executive, we're thinking, how can we give more prasadam to people? So we're looking at other restaurants. And yesterday I had the opportunity to check another restaurant out. which I think could be really good. We'll talk about it later on. But we have the Gopal's restaurant manager here, so a really, really interesting scenario. So we're looking at different ways. So the devotees are always enthusiastic, and that enthusiasm is infectious. Prabhupada says so many times that we have to have, for us to maintain our Krishna consciousness, we need the association of devotees. But not just everyday devotees, we need enthusiastic devotees. You link in with those people that are enthusiastic, that want to spread this movement. Not those devotees that you offer all respects to them, that are happy, that they're just chanting and they're taking prasad and that's it. You want to associate with those devotees that want to spread this movement. And that's infectious. That's an actual disease. You get their disease and you've got problems. You're out there, you know. So, like today. Today we've got the book distribution day. You know, going from Crossways. That we're going, isn't it, Adi? We're doing the whole book distribution thing. So, I mean, if you're enthusiastic, go out and do it. You know, encourage someone in their spiritual life. And Prabhupada said, you don't have to all be monks and nuns. You just be who you are. You are who you are because you like who you are. You do what you do because you like what you do. You're an accountant, you're a business manager, whatever. You do this for Krishna. You do this for Krishna. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm working for this mundane boss. How can I be enthusiastic? This is just a mundane job. It's not. Prabhupada says this example. It was really interesting also in Nectar of Devotion. He was saying, what is that machine that makes the circle? He's asking the devotees, what is that machine that was making the circle? And Prabhupada and the devotee said, it's a compass, Srila Prabhupada. Yes, it's a compass. He said, you should be like a compass. He said, you know, this compass has the fine point. And you dig in the fine point. That point is Krishna. And then there's a circle around, correct? He said, that's your occupation. In this life you have a particular occupation, but you make Krishna the center of that occupation. So whether you're an accountant, whether you're a business manager, whatever, you're not working for the man, you're working for Krishna. And when you can adapt it to see, yes, okay, how am I working for Krishna? Can you tell me that when I'm an accountant and I'm working in a department store? How is that? You give some of your hard-earned labor, work, the money that you've earned, you give a little bit to Krishna. Krishna doesn't want a lot. He just wants a little bit. That there's a bit of surrender from your part. And when you have that mentality, that's when you start making progress. So you have to be enthusiastic. This is the one thing. And you have to be patient. Prabhupada was saying the two things. Enthusiasm and patience. So you've had your little Krishna conscious peek into the spiritual world. You've seen the kingdom of God, just a little bit. You've had a little bit of taste and you want more, right? Now Krishna is like that. Sometimes it'll take 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, many lifetimes before you get that little glimpse again. But you have to be patient. Prabhupada says you have to be patient. How do you be patient? If you remain enthusiastic and preach and you have you're patient, the process will happen very quickly. But you have to be mindful. If you are negligent in your sadhana, number one, the enthusiasm dwindles, and number two, you become impatient. Prabhupada said, in Krishna consciousness, we have to be exceptionally patient. Just like in everything else in the material world, a person has to be patient. And he gives this interesting analogy. He said, when a lady gets married, she would very much like to have a child. But the child won't come immediately, necessarily. With us it did. But generally, you have to wait and you have to be patient. The child may not come immediately. Prabhupada made this analogy. The child may come after some time. And it's the same in Krishna consciousness. We have to be patient. We have to wait until the time is right for us to experience Krishna. And in that time, we diligently go about our business in an enthusiastic way, serving the spiritual master, serving Krishna, and then we actually make rapid progress. This is what's meant by the whole direction of Krishna consciousness. And then we actually are heading towards liberation. You know, this liberation is a real thing, you know, and you start to understand it. You start to really connect with that. And it's a wonderful thing. And the greatest pleasure, I said to Bhakti the other day, the greatest pleasure that I have in this life is to actually see someone is understanding Krishna consciousness. When you've had an opportunity to preach to someone, now I'm saying it's the same thing. When I've had an opportunity to share Krishna consciousness with someone and they get it, you know, the penny drops and you see it in their eyes, they go, aha. When you see that, that is the greatest nectar that you could possibly have. You all know that, right? It's the greatest joy that you could have. Like I gave this lecture recently to a group of ladies and they were from Wesley College. So they're I'm from Wesley College. And very nice ladies, really nice ladies. And one lady nearly started to cry. I gave the lecture and she said, you know, I had an experience of Krishna. She's never had met the devotees before. I had an experience of Krishna when I heard the song that George Harrison put out, My Sweet Lord. This was way back in the 70s, right? When I heard that song, I realized that's Krishna, that's God. And she had nothing to do with devotees until that time that she came to this temple and she sat in this class and we were talking about Krishna. And she started to cry because she revisited that connection she had with Krishna back in the 70s. There was another lady also, fabulous. I don't know whether I said this one already. I made the presentation and then I said, okay, so now we're coming into the temple room and I'm going to show you Lord Krishna. And on the left-hand side when you come in, you'll see the founder of our movement, Srila Prabhupada, right? Older lady. And they all come marching in, you know, and we're standing in front of Prabhupada. I said, this is the murti or the statue of Srila Prabhupada, very lifelike. And this woman turned around and she said, I saw him. I said, I beg your pardon? She said, I saw him. I said, when did you see him? She said, when I was a hippie, you used to have a temple in St. Kilda. And he was there. I was at the back of the hall. And he was lecturing and the devotees were there and I saw him. I said, my dear, you know, you've been blessed. Yeah. I never had an opportunity to see him. You've seen him. And she said, he made such an impact on me. And this was, again, she reconnected with Srila Prabhupada after something like 30, 40 years. Right? She hadn't had anything to do with the devotees. These ladies came for the simple purpose of an outing. They would go to a golf club, they would go bowling, they would go to a tennis club or something, and somebody suggested, why don't you go to a Hare Krishna temple? Yeah, that'd be pretty far out. So they came, and they never had this, and this woman, two of them, one was ecstatic about the fact that she realized, oh, this is Krishna. This is the Krishna that I fell in love with My Sweet Lord. And the other lady said, oh, that's the gentleman that I saw when I was young. And their Krishna consciousness again blossoms. So this is so enthusing, you know. So you want to do more and more of that, you know what I mean? And there was another one, and I think I've explained this also. There was a group of young men came. And you know, at the moment, within the Muslim community, Ramadan is finished now, is it? Is Ramadan finished? It's finished, isn't it? So anyway, when Ramadan was on, they had iftar dinners and so on and so forth. So one group from a Muslim school came here, 65 students from a Muslim school, young boys, year 10, right? Pukka as, beautiful uniforms, really nicely dressed, 65 of these Muslim boys, and they all sat in there and they asked the best questions about God consciousness. Never had a group of people ask such nice questions. Each one, what's my relationship with God? Is Krishna Allah? You know, how is it different? How do you offer your prayers to God? How many times do you do it? Do you bow down to God? So many beautiful questions. And they were so appreciative, you know. And I said at an iftar dinner when I was with my Muslim friends, that I said, all goes well for the Muslim community when young men like that will be the leaders of your community in due course of time. Wonderful, wonderful people. Saintly boys were there, you know. So, and that enlivens you. Preaching, sharing enlivens you. Teaching Krishna consciousness enlivens you. And it keeps you enthusiastic. It keeps you young. You know, like Prabhupada was an elderly man of 70, but in actuality his spirit was young. Young men couldn't keep up with Prabhupada. He was just so enlivened and so empowered to go and do things. Similarly, when you preach, when you teach, when you share, you actually feel empowered and your body takes on a whole other thing, whether you've got illnesses, pains or whatever. So it becomes enlivening. And then you have to be patient. You just have to wait. You have to wait. When Krishna wants, he will reveal himself. And then he comes again. Krishna comes again, just slightly. When you least expect it. It's generally when you least expect it that Krishna makes an appearance. And it's really quite strange. You could be anywhere, in the shower or something. Somebody was telling me about that the other day. They had a real powerful realization when they were in the shower. You know? So Krishna can come. This is our position. So we can do all these yogic practices and stuff and try and attain the body of Lord Brahma, but so boring. You know, we really want to attain God consciousness. We really want to share with Krishna. We want to be with Krishna. We want to be in his association. We want to have the kingdom of God right here, right now. So this is the message that I would like to point out to everybody, that the Prabhupada is emphasizing that we somehow or another remain enthusiastic. And to be enthusiastic, we have to stay the course. We have to stay with our sadhana. We have to stay with the promises that we made to our spiritual master. The spiritual master will say, yes, I will keep on enthusing you as long as you stay with what I've asked you to do. And if you do, you'll feel that experience. So I'll stop here, Prabhu. Any comments or questions at all? Yes, Prabhu. I can always rely on Mahatmaji for a question. Thank you, Prabhu.
That was in Jhansi, 1964, Acharya Mishra.
Yeah.
That was the internment.
It was in Jhansi, yeah.
Prabhupada told him that Krishna came, yeah, and he had such a beautiful garland of Kadamba, a very huge, big garland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Beautiful. Can you imagine that? Wait for the day that Krishna actually does that.
He was having a PhD. The
gentleman.
Yeah. First thing, Sai Prabhupada.
That's right.
Acharya Mishra.
So, you know, this is all an example for us. Yes. Prabhupada's whole life, he's an acharya. He's an example for us. Yes. You know? So this is going to happen to us. The Lord of the universe, all the universes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you grasp that? Yes. I mean, do you ever stand outside and you look at the stars in the heavens? And it's so vast, it's limitless. And that personality, not that energy, but that personality that created all this powerful, most beautiful personality will come to you and place a garland on your body and say, Mahatmaji, I love you. Can you imagine that? And this is our position. This is what's going to happen to each and every one of us. That supreme... think about it. You try and get to see the Prime Minister. How much problem would you have to go and see him, right? And who is the guy anyway? Some schmuck, you know? Or you know, they're constantly fighting with one another. And then what to speak of the United States? I mean, you know, this is a leader, you know? But you try and get an audience with this so-called powerful person. Not a chance, right? Very, very difficult. Even when I do interfaith work, right? And I have to meet with politicians. Actually, this week was interesting. I met with I got an invitation to meet with the opposition caucus. So that's the total opposition party. Mm-hmm. Margaret Fitzherbert, who's come here quite often and loves the devotees, sent me an invitation. Would you like to come to a caucus meeting of the opposition here in Port Melbourne? So I went there and I met Matthew Guy again and gave him a hug. And there's about 5 members of parliament there that have been to the devotees, and they love the devotees, right? But it was really difficult to actually get a meeting with someone like the Premier or something. So what to speak of the Lord of all the universes, where he personally comes to you. This is our birthright. This is what we are destined to. You know, these are not fantastic stories. This is not imagination. This is not... If you dedicate... And how do we get that the Lord comes to us? By showing enthusiasm that we love you, Krishna. We want to serve you. And what does he say? Krishna says, that person, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, that person that goes out and presents this philosophy, this Bhagavad Gita, to the masses, that person is the most dear to me. This is the Lord of all the universes, the Supreme Personality. He said, if you do this for me, if you tell people the truth, if you share the truth with people, you are most dear to me. So glorious. And this is, so stay enthusiastic. Become infatuated, become fanatic about how much enthusiasm we've got to have. Prabhupada was so enthusiastic, it was just like bottling up within him. Although he had this calm demeanor, he was so enthusiastic within to get his book spread, to get preaching out there, to set up temples. We have to imbibe the example that Srila Prabhupada, the acharyas, give. And similarly, all the acharyas that come here, you see these magnificent personalities, you know. Burjan and his dear wife, you know how they're preaching. A wonderful preaching center in Perth. You know, Sankarshan Prabhu, how he preaches all over the world on the website and everything. Amazing. Amazing stuff. And even to the extent where he's physically sore, because when he was here, Sankarshan Prabhu was suffering quite a lot with hip pain because of his traveling. But he couldn't care less about that. All he wanted to do was bring this knowledge to other people, answering one question after the next question after the next question after the next question, wasn't it? He's enthusiastic to do that. And what to speak of Jayaprataka Swami? Has anybody seen that on YouTube clip about the life of Jayaprataka Swami? Yes. Who's seen that? Isn't that amazing?
Awesome.
Absolutely awesome. The, what's it called? The example.
Example.
Yeah. Unbelievable. What this devotee, through enthusiasm, most people, if they get a stroke, they say, that's it, folks, end of story. We'll just sit back in some old people's home and just sit and rock, you know. No, get me better. Whatever capacity I have, get me better so I can preach. You know? So inspirational. So you seek those people's, those devotees' association. And that enthuses you. If he can do it, perhaps I can do it. Isn't it? Because we're all getting older. We're all going to go through different phases of our lives. And we can be unenthusiastic and go, oh, woe is me, I'm so sick. Oh, I've got such a bad leg. Oh, I've got this and that. You know, me. Not a thought of that from a devotee's point of view. Let me share this knowledge of Krishna consciousness with everyone, irrespective of how the hell I feel. It doesn't matter. That's enthusiasm. And they patiently wait for Krishna to come and put the garland on them. This is really far out. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the wonderful class. My question is, how do we feel the presence of Krishna with us in our time? Like all the Krishna six, you know, when we come to the temple, we do feel we are different.
Yeah.
But when we go out, how do we make sure that yeah, Krishna is right next to me and he's protecting me?
Yeah, it's not easy. But you have to be assured that Krishna is carrying you, is with you. Also, you know, as a matter of fact, also the demigods are also with you. You know, in the Christian tradition, you have these things called guardian angels. Actually, they're not wrong. There are other living entities. When they see, I mean, we have no understanding of the universal structure. The Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a glimpse of the universal structure. But there are entities, actually, that are protecting you, that are with you, on behalf of Lord Krishna. Demigods, we can call them demigods. In the Christian tradition, they call them angels. Messengers of God that protect you. If you become, and you are, if you are a devotee of God, right, you are special in the world. And so a person special, like, you know, any bodyguard, any president, any person has bodyguards, right? So in the same way, as an adversary, what is it called? An emissary of God, as being a missionary for God, you have personalities that are around you that protect you and motivate you to do the right things, that even protect you from dangers. Can you imagine that? Krishna sends his personal assistants to help you. This is how important you are to Krishna as a preacher. If you maintain enthusiasm, he'll look after you. And you won't forget Krishna. You won't. The only way you'll forget Krishna is if you lack in your instruction from Guru. If you lack in the if you negate the importance of the teachings of your Guru. You know? And even then, you'll still get that support. Krishna says you're never lost. Even if you've done horrible things, you're never lost. I will always protect you. And even if a person goes off the wrong path, eventually he'll come back. You know? So, yeah, and you have to use your intelligence. How can I remain Krishna conscious? You know, like, you can listen to Krishna bhajan, you can read during your meal break, you know, you can preach to people, you can talk to people like that. That way you always stay enthusiastic. Does that make sense? Yes, Prabhu.
Krishna Prabhu, you actually preaching a lot through interface programs and you are reaching out so many mass audience.
Mm.
Different faith groups, and also you are reaching out politicians. My question to you is, of course, the world needs a lot of reformations and active politicians. So, do you ever think about actually joining any political party?
Not me, but somebody else will. I'm too old anyway. That's a young man's position. But yeah, Prabhupada was enthusiastic that devotees become devotees. Devotees become politicians, become leaders. At the present stage, we have a great hope in Tulsi Gabbard, who is a senator within the US Congress. If you ever have a chance to hear her speak, she's a devotee, you know, wonderful lady. So yeah, in due course of time. I've actually been asked by some of the politicians, I guess we could say it here, the Liberal Party asked if I'd like to do something. I said no. It's not for me. I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher. I'm not. But I'm more than happy to. If someone comes forward and says, "Hey, I'm actually grooming someone," and she said that she would be interested. So we have to. We have to become part of all different parts of society. We've got heaps and heaps of accountants and business managers at the moment. What we need now is politicians and people in different positions. And if people like to strive for that, you should go for it. But in the same token, like the compass. Always think of that analogy of the compass. Pin is Krishna. Swing around, everything to do with Krishna. Whatever occupation. Prabhupada said, what's that verse? Your sudra, what is that one? Kipa vipra gipa nyasi, say guru hoy. Say guru hoy, that's right. So you can be anything in this material world. But yeah, we need leaders. My God, that we need leaders. Real leaders. Raja Rishis, you know. There was actually, I mentioned that to somebody else the other day. I said I went to the Durga Temple. Has anybody met the president of the Durga Temple? The temple president there he must have been a Raja Rishi in his last life. He carries himself like a powerful man. You know, he's got this beard and he's big and he's strong. And he walks around, and everybody's like, you know, like, if he looks at you, okay, you know, like. Powerful man. So we need powerful individuals, ladies and men. Yes, I agree with you. If you have that inclination, if, you know, sometimes we ask, what should be my occupation? You have to be intuitive and ask Krishna, which way do you want me to go? And if intuitively you feel, actually, this could be something for me, then that's Krishna telling you, go for it. Go for it. Do it for me. Not for that I can get a luxury car and, you know, I get to go on TV or anything like that. That's not the point. Huh? Or how to rot the system. Yeah. You know, recently in politics at the moment here in Victoria, some people have rotted the system. You heard about that? People taking money when they shouldn't have and all that kind of stuff. Hmm. Anyway, any other comments or questions at all? Anything from the ladies? Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.